If you were unable to attend this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, we have good news for you. We produced an audio DVD of the conference. The recording contains all of the speakers' presentations, my Divine Service sermon, and the hymn sing. We'll send you the audio DVD for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. Click the audio DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can also order by check. Make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Order your audio DVD of the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We often think about divorce, the breaking up of a family, as a legal matter. It's just a matter of going to a lawyer, going to a judge. Sometimes it's not even that complicated, especially with the advent of no-fault divorce. The legal aspect of it has actually diminished quite. But we view it as, well, it's kind of our inherent right to pursue happiness. And if we're not finding happiness where we thought we would find it, we're going to find it someplace else. It's considered part of one of the staples of the sexual revolution, no-fault divorce, and divorce has certainly made its mark in American society. It has certainly left its mark on an entire generation and now going on into three generations of people here in the United States as well as worldwide. The church has acquiesced. I think that's safe to say. The church has acquiesced on the issue of families disintegrating before the church's very eyes and said, well, what can we do to stop it? And that acquiescence has extended over into what can we do after it's happened, I think, as well. Joining us to talk about the church and the children of broken homes, pastoral care for that very all-too-common situation, Pastor David Fleming. He's senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he's author of a paper for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, titled Soul Care for Children of Broken Homes. David, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Some might find this shocking, but you open your paper talking about the dissolution of a family, the destruction of a family in some ways, as a violent act. You say it's similar to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in violence, but worse than any movie in its foundation-shaking aftermath. What do you mean by that?
Well, our Lord said, repeating Moses' words, and Paul repeated it too, that a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Marriage is not just the simple contract union of a couple of people that for a while happen to like each other. It is the two becoming one flesh together, one body. And if memory serves me right, in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, people's bodies become multiple pieces. Divorce is the same thing. It's like taking a chainsaw to someone and trying to divide one body into two. And if you can imagine that image, which I don't really want us to dwell on a lot, but if you can imagine that image happening in your studio or here in my office, I mean, everyone in that room would be traumatized. The walls would be covered with all sorts of stuff. It would be an ugly thing, and maybe there's someone living after it, but anyone who is living after it that's around is traumatized terribly by it. So divorce is not a simple little painless thing. I think Dr. Beverly Yonke has said that people leaving a marriage or leaving behind one set of crosses to take up another set of crosses in divorce, and it's a very difficult place for those getting divorced and for their children as well. Marriage was designed to be this beautiful, symmetrical, well-designed, complementary relationship of one man and one woman, where there's this beautiful leaving and cleaving and one flesh union, a protective environment for the safety of both the adults and for all the children to know that They're surrounded by love and protected from the attacks of the world. But divorce is tearing that all apart, and it shakes things to the very core for both of the participants in the marriage and the children of that marriage.
Is this why, to kind of turn to the subject of the children of divorce, is this why we kind of acknowledge this, even among Christians, the culture has a completely casual attitude toward this? I mean, divorce is considered kind of your pursuit of happiness, as I said before, good for you, go for it, kind of a thing. The church still has a somber attitude, but we do acknowledge that there is serious collateral damage when we say a couple divorces and they don't have children. We say, well, at least they didn't have any kids.
Right. That is a common way it's put, isn't it, Todd? And it's a recognition that it does complicate things tremendously. It's I think, perhaps one of the most heartbreaking things as a pastor to watch. I've, from this very office in which I'm sitting, I've looked out the window into our parking lot and seen, you know, one, the dad drive up with his vehicle to drop off the kids to be exchanged over to mom's vehicle, and just to watch all the pain going on in that exchange. I think you're right. I think when people say, well, at least there isn't children, at least that leaves out some complications. Of course, that's denying, isn't it, too, that divorce is just hurting all of us. Every marriage that's together and held together in Christ's love is a beautiful picture for us of Christ's relationship with us, his bride, the church. And every divorce is a reminder that some leave the faith, and sometimes these things fall apart. And that's a terrible, awful reality.
Pastor David Fleming is our guest. We'll take a break. We're spending the rest of this hour with him talking about the church and children of broken homes. I invite your questions and your comments on this Wednesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, and our Twitter address at issuesetc. We'll be right back. Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor David Fleming is our guest. For the remainder of this hour on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 15th, we're talking about the Church and Children of Broken Homes. He's senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he's author of a paper for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, titled Soul Care for Children of Broken Homes. Pastor Fleming, let's talk about a good basic biblical concept that will help us frame our way of thinking about how the church approaches children of divorce, or abandonment, I guess we could add in there too, the kind of non-legal equivalent. You talk about children as being sinned against. Why is that so important to establish that framework for our conversation?
So often we acknowledge people when they're sinners. We say that our Lord welcomes sinners and forgives sinners, and we forget the needs of those who have been sinned against by others. We almost treat them as if nothing's happened of import, because they haven't directly sinned. And the victims of the sins of others have need the Lord's gifts for them as well. They need whenever someone sins against us, there comes this shame that comes along with it. It almost feels like guilt, but it is a shame. It's an adhering of the evil done against us. If you can imagine, maybe to help people picture this in their own mind, if you can imagine someone who has been brutally attacked or robbed. I remember when I was growing up and someone stole our gas grill from the side of our yard. It was kind of nothing, but you know, you felt violated and hurt by it. Well, imagine if this is something much more serious. This is you're sinned against either by being abandoned or your parents are divorced. Now, by the way, I should make it clear, not all divorce is sin necessarily. That's not my goal here, to try to add guilt onto people at the moment. But we need to recognize that for these children, they've been sinned against. They've been removed from what God designed for them to grow up in. And our Lord has the gift of cleansing for them. Jesus doesn't just forgive sins. He also cleanses us from all unrighteousness, as John writes in 1 John. And that word unrighteousness covers not just sin, but sin done against us, not just sins we commit, but sins done against us. He cleanses us from that too, which gives us an assurance that we have a safe place in our Lord's family and are delivered from the harm that has been placed on us.
You actually tell the story of Steve Peterson, not a child, but a child of divorce. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Steve's a dear member here at Our Savior. He's our head elder and very active member of the congregation. He's also the son of parents that divorced. They were also alcoholics, so that might complicate things a little, I suppose. But he is the father of children who are all married. He's been married himself for well over 40 years and has incredible insight looking back at what happened to him when in eighth grade his mother announced to him that they were that his parents were getting a divorce. He's an amazing man in that he's able to kind of look at this objectively and look back and see what works and didn't work. He also had, for some reason, a sense of hope even in the midst of all this. He attributes part of that to Billy Graham, that his church didn't really give him much help at all, but hearing of the atoning work of Christ gave him confidence that the Lord loved him even in the midst of this. And so he's able to kind of look through this challenging situation with hope.
That is something that, when he was in eighth grade, was a long time ago, divorce was far less common.
Right.
Today in Christian congregations, it's ubiquitous. Not just common, it's ubiquitous. How does that magnify the challenge for both the pastor and the congregation?
Well, it's just sort of overwhelming. When I was in grade school, I remember we had about 45 kids in eighth grade. With one girl had divorced parents out of that group. I look around now, and in our small school, we've got lots of children of divorce. And so you've got all these people hurting from all these different broken marriages. And it might be easy for the church to then just ignore divorce and treat it like it's just common, or that it isn't against our Lord's design. And there's also, because we're overwhelmed trying to care for all these children from broken homes, it's easy for us to just try to write this off. Or, even worse, I think, is the church tries to find some quick, little, easy solution to it. We're going to fix these kids and fix the pain and all that real quickly. Todd, we're never going to fix the pain of divorce. We've got to bear it with them. We've got to love them in Christ. They need the Lord's gifts constantly. They need their identity in baptism. And they need real adults who will listen to them and bear this burden with them.
You talk about the church as a family, and this is something that we often, it's a term that we use often in a really ambiguous way, but you say we need to think seriously about Jesus' reception of children when it comes to the church as a family. Do that for us, if you would.
Yeah. Well, so Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." And interestingly, in Mark's account on this, what he comes into this strange thing where there's no passage that deals with children of divorce, but in Mark 10, there is a bit about marriage, there's a thing and divorce, there's a thing about children, and then, there's the rich young guy that comes to Jesus and then walks away sad, and Jesus makes the statement about it's rough for rich people, and Peter says, "Hey, look, we left everything for you," and Jesus doesn't slap him upside the head, he gives him real comfort. "Well, truly I say to you, there is no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." In the church, we're given this incredible home, this incredible family to help bring us comfort and peace in the midst of all the troubles and sins that are done against us, sometimes because we're faithfully standing for our Lord, sometimes just because this is a broken, sinful world and we're surrounded by other sinners. But our Lord gives us this incredible gift now of a family that unites with us and bears our pain with us and listens to us and prays with us and blesses us.
With about 30 seconds before we take a break, is that a good way of, we talk about beginning things like this, beginning the church's pastoral care of the children of divorce, should we view where the family gathers, the divine service, the weekly place where Christ comes in word and sacrament with the forgiveness of sins, should we view that as the center, the beating heart of that very care for children of divorce?
Absolutely. And it's the care for all of these damaged, broken people that are gathered at the divine service. You know, this is not a time for glib silliness and shallowness. We have real people in real pain, and they have a real Savior here to help them and us all in this chaotic, devolving world that we're living in. We need a Savior who's real and a heaven that's real that's brought to us.
Pastor David Fleming is our guest. When we come back 10 more minutes with him in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to turn to the subject of talking to our children about homosexual marriage. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. 10 more minutes on the subject of the church and children of broken homes on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 15th. Pastor David Fleming is senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He has authored a paper for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, titled Soul Care for Children of Broken Homes. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the church and children of broken homes. Pastor David Fleming is our guest. He's authored a paper for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, titled Soul Care for Children of Broken Homes. You can find a link to this paper at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Why is listening so important in the church's relationship with its members who are children of broken homes?
Well, it's important with all our members, but particularly for those who have been injured or damaged. Dr. Yonke makes the point that sometimes when we're listening to people in real pain, we want to jump in and just fill them up with words. The pain's just too much to bear for us, and so we kind of want to jump in there with lots of of nice phrases and judgments and things. And what we need is we need to know somebody hears us and really understands the challenges we're facing. I think when difficult things have happened in my life, those who have been a particular aid to me aren't those who've rushed in with words, but have assured me they love me, and then they listen. They listen and ask questions to let me tell my story, so that then having them gain my trust, they can then apply God's word well to the situation, and I'll receive it as somebody, you know, not as a truism, but as a real concrete expression of our Lord's mercy in the face of what I'm facing.
So we talked about the church as a family, which is the big picture there, and the divine service is the center of that congregation's gathering. Is it possible within a Christian congregation for there to be, and I'm cautious about this, for there to be surrogate families for children who find themselves because we haven't even talked about, you know, the spouse that's left raising the children and the damage it's done to them as well, because we wanted to focus on the kids. But is there, without diminishing that relationship, is there a place for surrogate families in a congregation?
We've got to be really careful, because we do want to respect that it's honor your father and your mother. There, we want to teach the children of divorced homes to honor their parents, and we also don't want to rush in and be substitute parents for others. But on the other hand, there is what will happen naturally often is that families that are functioning well will attract those children whose families are not functioning well. And this, just looking back after reading about this, I noticed this was happening with our own family. Our children would, the friends that came over with our children so often, not always, but so often were children of broken homes. And it's, they delighted in having just a normal family. You know, we're not a perfect family, but we're a normal family. We love each other. We laugh a lot. We hear the Lord's word. We cry too, and play games together, and all these things. And that there's a wonderful modeling going on there for what a family can be like, and it offers a kind of respite from the pain of being around a broken home, which can often be difficult for them. But again, that caution, you can't go, I'm going to be the surrogate parent to this person. I mean, you kind of have to let the child pick that family on their own, almost.
But that is, of course, as you've cautioned well, that is not in any sense to make an attempt to replace the biological family.
Not at all, no. I mean, that's the one God formed, and we're always to respect that. And I think, if I remember right, there's research that shows even in the most difficult, awful circumstances, there's still some benefit for them making continuing ties with even the most difficult parent. The Lord's wired us that way, I guess.
There are several other things I want to discuss with you in the time that we have left, and that is it's a kind of two sides of the same coin. That is the need, the church that can supply the aid and the provision for these children to both forgive and to perhaps understand that, and I think it's a natural consequence of divorce, understand that the guilt that they somehow feel over their parents' actions. Talk about both of those things together in the few minutes we have left.
Sure. So I think there's some... Steve Peterson was very helpful to me in talking on this, and what he found as good pointers when he's talked to others about what it's like to go through divorce, that it's important to remember that the parents do love the child, and we want to continue to encourage them to know that. Even though the parents' actions might have been horrible, they most likely love the child, and it's best to just put the best construction on it and assume that. And Second, they're eventually the children are going to need to forgive their parents, whoever is at fault or both or whatever, because to not forgive is to let the bitterness grow in us, and it is so destructive. But that's got to be eventual. I don't think the first word out of our mouths to children of divorced homes is, well, you got to forgive your folks now, and let's move on, and now that's over. That's going to be kind of like Joseph waking every day as a slave. I bet he had to forgive his brothers over and over again before the Lord. They do need to understand they're not the cause of their parents' divorce. And it's interesting, particularly one researcher said that the girls particularly will think that, well, Dad found me boring just like he found Mom boring, and that's so I'm at fault here too with this divorce. What a horrid thing for a child to believe. But they do sometimes believe incorrect ideas and need to be assured it's not the marriage was not their responsibility. It was their parents' responsibility. And they did sin in this marriage, these children. They were not perfectly obedient children. And they need to confess that and then have that forgiven and gone so that can be put away. I think it's good for them to analyze their family. What was good in my family and what wasn't? What would be something I'd want to imitate in the future? What wasn't a very good idea, and would I want to change in the future? And those that take the time to think that way, that can be of great benefit in future relationships. And
about 15 seconds here.
Okay, and then it's great to have good role models, both male and female, that they could hook up with. Not hook up, that's the wrong word, sorry, but be good friends with, to work with, and to look at what's it like to be a good man and a good woman, if they aren't able to see that at home.
Pastor David Fleming is senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's author of a paper for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, titled Soul Care for Children of Broken Homes. Folks, Doxology, the Center for Lutheran Spiritual Care and Counsel, is going to be hosting a conference titled Finding Our Voice, August the 12th and the 13th at St. Louis University. The speakers include Issues Etc. regular guest Sharif Girgis, Pastor Matt Harrison, Adrian Dorr-Heinz, and Dr. John Kleinig, also Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can find out more about Finding Our Voice, August 12th and 13th at St. Louis University under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Fleming, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for your work.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to turn to the subject that is probably lurking in the back of the minds of many parents in the last several months, talking to your children about homosexual marriage. Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, will be our guest for Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.